الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. When someone tries to progress spiritually and they're on a certain path, especially on the path that leads one in closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many obstacles that come along that path. And you know, many of those obstacles, you know, we've discussed in the past, you know, there's the dunya and there's shaitan and nafs. But in particular terms, there's certain things that exist societally, which are so pervasive that permeate the very social fabric of society that almost all and sundry are affected by those obstacles. And the sad fact or the sad reality is that many people are confronted with these obstacles that prevent them from progressing spiritually, but they don't even realize that it's an obstacle. And that's sometimes the most dangerous thing. When you know, one time I was talking to my teacher, and I mentioned to him that, you know, I had such and such a problem, and you know what I should do with it. And he didn't really give me an answer about what I do, but he said, "I'm not worried about that." He says, because when a person realizes that they have a disease or that they're sick, then they'll seek out a cure. I'm worried about the person who doesn't even know that they're sick. I'm worried about the person who doesn't even know that they're sick. And how many there are, you know, that there's a veil over our eyes that sometimes we're not able to see our own faults. And so one of the things that I thought I'd talk about today, and you know, sometimes there are certain things that I just almost assume that anyone who's, you know, really serious about the deen and who's really serious about their progress, that there are certain things which, you know, you almost assume in a secondhand way that, oh, there's no way that anyone would do that. But when you take, you know, a few steps back and you really look at reality and see how many people are immersed in this, then I thought that it would be befitting that we talk about something that really is pertinent and perhaps somewhat basic, you know, for those who are trying to seek closeness to Allah, but I think immensely important. Immensely important. Why is it immensely important? Because this is one of the prerequisites that you just have to knock out of your life if you want to move forward. What is it? And I'm going to talk about music today. Right? It's like one of those things that you just think like movies and TV and music. Of course, you know, people don't do that. But sometimes I'm surprised that, and sometimes people don't even talk about it because, you know, like many people have closet habits. Music is also somewhat of a closet habit for especially so many of the righteous. When you go to the big conference or the big convention, in front of no one would go on and walk out there with their headphones blazing with, you know, rap music. But as soon as they get in the car, right, or in their room, then the music is on. And this is like spiritual poison for the heart. It is one of the most effective means to hinder a person's progress towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a young hafiz one time who was memorizing the Quran. And there's someone who realized this concept, that someone who is listening to music and is immersed in music, that it has a spiritual effect. And because of the spiritual effect or the negative effect of music, that how can this person even memorize the Quran? So they asked the young person who wasn't hafiz at the time, who was memorizing the Quran, he says, "Are you having any difficulty in memorizing the Quran?" So the young hafiz said, no, I can memorize everything fine. Right? I'm memorizing Quran fine." Little did he realize that he had memorized the Quran, but then he forgot the whole thing. That's a separate situation, number one. But the fact that he was still memorizing was still a little bit puzzling. Right? And I actually, when I thought about this, I also found it puzzling that how can someone be listening to music so rampantly, so shamelessly, and yet be able to memorize the Quran? How can the nur of the Quran come in? And then it actually made sense to me. The words of the Quran were coming into the person's mind, but the nur of the Quran was not entering into the heart. Right? The person was involved in all types of sins. And the person, when he would read the Quran, it was not penetrating the heart, so much so that when they read the Quran, they could not cry. Right? That is a sign that something is wrong. When the automatic response that one reads the Quran is that tears should come to our eyes. That's a natural response. If that's not happening, then there's actually a sign that something is actually seriously wrong inside. And so I realized, subhanAllah, then it all made sense. And it comes, you know, very clearly that there are people who recite the Quran, but the Quran doesn't go past their throat. Right? Well, who is it referring to? Meaning that there is a spiritual effect of the Quran, that nur of the Quran that has to enter in the heart. And when one listens to music and fills their heart with music, it becomes an obstacle, almost a blockade, to allow that nur to enter into the heart. You know, way back when we were growing up and we were teenagers, you know, we'd hear about, you know, different scholars and, you know, people would give different reasons why you shouldn't listen to music. And one of the arguments, you know, people say that, maybe not about music, but also about other things, that it distracts you from the remembrance of Allah. Right? And so when we used to hear that as teenagers, we were like, man, that's such a lame excuse. Like, this is like just some Maulvi trying to like brainwash us. I mean, who even remembers Allah all the time, right? Like, we thought that there wasn't really an important thing in our life to begin with, because since dhikr wasn't an important part of our life, they say, who cares if you're not it's preventing you from remembering Allah all the time, because we're not remembering Allah all the time anyway. But for someone who is, I mean, when you talk about the first lesson, right, one of the cornerstones of the first lesson is what? Wakufi qalbi. That one takes their heart and puts it in such a situation that it's completely stuck on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. That it doesn't have the ability to think about anything other than Allah. Right? It's part of the first lesson. And so if this is part of the first step on this path, right? Imagine if music comes in and it distracts an individual and prevents them, then you're getting stuck at the first lesson. Right? It's difficult to move forward even from that point. One of the very dangerous things about music is that it has the very powerful ability to take different concepts and seed them very quickly into the heart. Actually, I remember I had gone for a medical school interview. Right? It was one of these combined programs. I didn't end up going to this combined program. And there was, you know, very intelligent people that had come from, you know, different walks of life and high school students. And some of these people were pretty impressive. You look at their CVs and the type of things that they were doing. They're all pretty, you know, they were bright people. I still remember some of those faces. And then one of them I remember asked me, you know, you don't listen to music or something like that. And I said, no. And then they said, why don't you do that? And then I tried to give them a teleological argument. And so I said that, you know, music has the ability to take concepts and seed it directly into the heart. And I want to be in control about what goes into my heart. And they said, wow, like they had never really thought about it in that type of terms. There's some things that just people do without thinking, but it has such an impact, right? And so much so, right, that when music fills the heart with those type of concepts, sometimes it takes years to wash out the heart, right? So much so, it becomes so inundated that when a person's standing in salah, the same thing is going on in their mind. They're actually reading Quran, right? But the same thing is going on in their mind because it's stuck in their heart. Right? They can't think about anything else. Those things that they had heard about, the things that they had thought about, become completely immersed within the heart. And the sad reality is, if you look at maybe 90-some% of music, it only talks about one thing. And I don't have to tell you what that one thing is. And especially for the youth, right? And generally our audiences, many of our audiences, the youth, when their biggest struggle, right? I mean, if I were to say for the youth, what is their biggest struggle? Like 99.9% probably would say that it's not the opposite gender interactions, right? Almost hands down, that's what everyone will say. If that is your biggest struggle, does it make any sense to make your struggle even more difficult? Right? One of our teachers, it's been said that music is nothing but an accessory to zina. If you want to think about it, imagine from 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the music station is running, and every single song is talking about the same subject, right? And you tell me that that won't have an effect? Instead of your qalb having wukuf on Allah, it becomes to have wukuf on that, right? And there's Time magazine articles which clearly document that you know, men think about this every so many times, every 60 seconds, right? Not once every 60 seconds, so many times every 60 seconds, that the mind is just stuck in that. This music has such a powerful impact on the individual. You know, take any person, for example, who's even exercising, right? and they're doing push-ups, and they really, you know, get to the point where they can't do any push-up, or you're a runner and you're running out of energy, and you're getting your gumption is going down, and people put on the headphones, right? And then I don't remember what, there's some, you know, Eye of the Tiger, or you know, they put some Sylvester Stallone, you know, music or something to pump them up and get them in the thing, and then they feel this surge of energy, right? That, you know, it pushes them farther than they could normally have gone. When people, right, would go to a dance club, what would a dance club be? Imagine going to a dance club and there's no music going on. There's just lights. And everyone's just sitting there looking at each other, right? There's no way to, you know, dance to the groove. There is no groove, right? Unless the music sets the background, no one feels like moving. You just look like a fanatic, like making weird movements with your body in the middle of the room. Like, people are like, what's wrong with you? Are you having a seizure? Right? I mean, people would literally look funny at you if you were acting in that same manner in any other context. But because the music is going, the body wants to also start moving, right? In fact, when they even say that if you're with the opposite gender and you want to get in the mood, what do people do, right? They turn on the music. Meaning that this tool, right, this tool is very effective in arousing an individual, in creating a mentality that takes you towards that direction. It's just in the nature, it's inherent in the thing itself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the human the best, and He understood, right, when something is being blocked, that is being blocked for a reason. I remember, I think I was on rotations my third year of med school, and I was on rotations with, like, you know, there's a couple of other medical students who are on with you. So one of them was a Chinese person, and I was doing rotations way out, you know, it took me like an hour and a half by train and bus to get there or something like that. And there was the colleague who I was with, he's like, I can give you a ride, because we had to come all the way down to the city to attend our lectures and go back out for rotation. So he said, I can give you a ride. I said, okay, fine, that would be nice. So he gave me a ride. And then when he was giving me a ride, he actually turned on the music, because it's normal for them. Okay, so he said, it's normal, right, you know, for these guys to turn on music. So I was feeling really uncomfortable, like, what did I get myself into? So I actually, I don't know what Allah put in my heart, I actually asked him to turn off the music, right? So that led to a very interesting discussion, right? And I told him, you know, and he was, these people are like, they're all just about rationality and these type of things. You need to give them a logical thing, because they don't, there's no iman there. So he's like, you know, why can't you do that? And then, you know, one thing led to another. So music, you know, he saw music as a form of art. Right, and he says, well, you know, you guys don't make pictures, and something led to pictures, and we don't say about art. And he said, that's all artistic expression, and at least, I mean, for those, at least in the Western academia, there's a huge emphasis on art appreciation, because that is, I mean, art is not just something that, you know, when people pay $1 million for a painting, that, you know, for most people, they look at it like, oh, it makes no sense. Why are they paying $1 million? There's a reason. There's a lot of thinking that's gone behind that, and to develop that appreciation, to read the inner meaning, to understand, for example, when there's this whole movement in art that occurred where they're trying to represent three dimensions within two dimensions, or vice versa. And, you know, there's a theory that underlines what they actually do. And the same thing is, you know, with when they talk about people who are geniuses in music, right, who are just gifted. There is intellect behind that. It's not just like pure entertainment. So he was sort of coming at it from that attitude, because these, you know, people are in, like, you know, guitar, piano lessons from the age of 5 or 6, and they're groomed in, you know, on the silver spoon. But if you just thought about it, right, I mean, you take about the 1% of people who actually, in the society, who actually listen to music for art appreciation, and the 99% of people, right, who actually use music to actually take them towards haram, right? And it just makes bad economic sense to actually listen to music. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew humanity the best when He actually cut this off. When He cut this off. One of the sad things that's actually arising, is actually scary, is that people actually are going towards, because it's become so on and it's become so prevalent, that people have stopped seeing it as an evil. They stopped seeing it as an evil. I actually was at a national conference to give a, or one of those zonal conferences. You know, there's a lot of people there, one of these big youth conferences, and I had to give a series of talks there. And I was getting, after my session, they had, no, in between the speakers, note, they had some nasheeds, just to fill in the thing. And they had like this professional, like it looked like, huge boom boxes, and like it looked like a remixer or something like that. And the guy was, there was actually a person there to do that. And they had, the names of Allah, right, that they were playing. But in the background, it was a remix with all the music in the background. I said, SubhanAllah, this is scary. Because they were having all these, and actually, if you go to places like the Nasheed shop or nasheed.com or something, I don't really have one of these sites, they'll have nasheeds, right? And then they have the music variety, and then they have no music. Meaning that there's nasheeds with music, and then there's nasheeds without music. And the proportion would probably be like 90% to 10%, maybe even more. 90% on the music side. Not on the not, no music site. 90%, and this is what? This is not haram, quote unquote haram music. This is a halal music. Right? This is the song about Allah. This is a song about His Rasul. This is a song about all these things. And they all come with music. There is a very clear riwayah in Bukhari that they will appear in the Ummah of Rasulullah. Right? Sahih hadith in Bukhari. I'm not pulling it out from some da'if hadith, right? That people will appear in this ummah that will make what? Silk, alcohol, fornication, and music, and permissible in the deen. Right? Or kama qala Rasulullah. This was a prediction of Rasulullah. In fact, in another riwayat actually comes that it is, this is, I mean, it's scary actually, that there will be people who will make drinking permissible, right? Who will make drinking permissible, and they will be walking with singing and music on their heads, right? Words to this effect. And the words are of the hadith, I think it's in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban, if I'm not mistaken, that they will be metamorphosized into monkeys and swine, and the earth will swallow them up, right? Actually, the other order. كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And the words used in the hadith, if I'm not mistaken, are ma'azif, musical instruments. I was just thinking about, I just read this hadith today, I was just thinking about it. No, singing and dancing on your head. No, and it had an eerie resemblance to the device that we call headphones. Right? Literally, people are carrying it on their heads and they walk around and it's just everywhere with them. Right? The earth will swallow them up. I mean, there's a lot of earthquakes going on. Allah knows. Only Allah knows what is causing the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come down. In fact, it comes in another riwayah that there are 15 things when they will appear in the ummah, then the ummah will be afflicted with trial and tribulation. And one of those things was what? Music. For anyone who has any doubt that music is impermissible, right? Music, which is for the by instruments for the sake of entertainment, is impermissible. They look can look very clearly in the ayah of the Quran. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. You don't even have to go to hadith. Go straight to the Quran. Because people say, "Show me in the Quran where is it?" Right? There's no. I don't see the word music anywhere. Right? I don't see the word وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. These people who say that you want exactly that particular word, they won't be able to pray their Quran, their salah, one salah, if they were only to base on the literal Quran, right? The Quran doesn't work that way. It works on usul, it works on, it has depth to it, it has sophistication to it. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, and from amongst people, مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ, who buy idle hadith talk, right? لِيُذِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, to misguide people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make them go astray. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he didn't just say that this is music. He swore by Allah that it is music. Wallahi, right? And the other riwayah, there's two riwayahs actually. In both of them, he's swearing that this was referring to music. Okay, that's only one sahabi, you say? Right? First of all, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he was the faqih from amongst the sahaba. When you talk Imam Abu Hanifa, his understanding of the fiqh is basically based on the understanding of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Fine, you take away the fiqh aspect, you want to go on the tafsir aspect? Take the mufassir of the sahaba who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually made hadith, a dua for his faqaha, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Right, and if you take the understanding of Imam Shafi is basically based on the understanding of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anh, he also says the same thing. This is what he refers to. Hassan al-Basri, right, one of the most pious of the Tabi'in, he also says the same thing. I mean, you take the other ayah, وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنْ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكْ وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكْ, that lead to destruction whom you will with your voice, بِصَوْتِكْ. And in one interpretation of this, I think Abu Bakr Jassas, rahmatullahi, he narrates from Imam Abu Hanifa that this refers to music, right? To the effect. You have, for example, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ, what is it? وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ زُورٌ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا, that those people who do not, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ زُورٌ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا, and those people who do not attest to falsehood, and when they pass by, when they مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ, with idleness, مَرُّوا كِرَامًا, they pass by graciously. So, if I'm not, this is actually the one that Imam Hanifa interprets as referring to music. The previous one, that one was interpreted as referring to music and singing by Mujahid, rahmatullah alayhi, and he was amongst the great tabi'in and great exegetes of Islamic, of Quranic tafsir, from amongst the tabi'in. Not only Mujahid, but also Dhahhak. I mean, you're talking about the huge scholars. And if you look throughout Islamic history, take the Sahaba, take the tabi'in, take the great ulama from throughout history, there's almost unanimously, you will see every single one saying that there's not permissibility for this. Right? It's not a Desi thing. It is not an Arab thing. It is not a Devandi thing. This is an Islamic thing. Right? It was never a sign of the righteous, much less righteous, never a sign of the Muslims that they would incorporate music into the thing. And there is ample evidence even that if the music is being played without any words, just the music itself, right? And there's riwayah after riwayah after riwayah, as many as 40 riwayahs which will actually prove this, right? It's hard to get to, and so how does anyone even say that it is permissible, right, to actually listen to music, right? The arguments are so flimsy, so flimsy. One argument is that, oh, in the Bukhari hadith, it mentions silk, alcohol, fornication, and singing or music. So when all of these things come together, that's when it's haram. Right? But if only one of them is there, then it's not haram. So the Mufti, he actually said it beautifully. He said that, well, then fornication by itself should also be halal by that same argument, right? Or alcohol by itself should also be halal by that same argument. If you want to take it like that, you guys don't say that. Then the people like to say, this is all-time favorite. They say, Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty, right? So therefore it is permissible, right? So, no, there are many things which are completely haram, right? Completely haram. And I would not want to mention, right, in this, I mean, there are those people who say, for example, the female body is the paradigm of beauty, right? And because of that, they use that for artistic expressions. Let's just leave it at that, right? That's also beautiful. So is that going to be permissible in Islam? Then you have to have a fitrat salima to look at these type of things. You can't look, I mean, just those type of arguments. And you're going to ignore the Quran, you're going to ignore all the tafsir, and you're going to ignore the 40 hadith, and you say Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty, so this is also beautiful. It's beautiful to you because you're corrupted inside. Right? For the righteous, they would look at it, they would cringe. When Rasulullah was walking, he was going, no, Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu an, one of the most muttabi' bis sunnah, he was going by a way, and there was a flute playing, and he actually closed his ears, and there was a nafiq, rahmatullah alayhi, his student was with him, and he said that he stopped. And then he told him when he stopped, and only then did he took out his ear, and he said, I saw Rasulullah go like this, do it like this. Not only did he turn his way away, he turned his mule away, right? And he said, I saw Rasulullah do like this. In one riwayah, it comes, Al-ghina'u yumbitu al-nifaq fi al-qalb kama yumbitu al-ma'u al-zar'a. Or kama qal, Rasulullah, that this music, it breeds, duplicity, hypocrisy in the heart, the way the water waters the crops. And it's really, you know, people say, oh, how is that true? But look at most of the people, right, who actually listen to music. Oftentimes you'll see them leading double lives. They're one person in the masjid and they're one person at home. Hiding from their parents, hiding from the community, hiding from this. Right? It creates a duplicitous life. It takes you down that road. Al-jarasu mazamiru shayateen. I mean, there's hadith after hadith after hadith. The other one that people try to use to say that is halal is what Rasulullah says, he came into the room and there were some young girls that they were singing. Right? They were singing. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, for example, he rebuked them and Rasulullah let them go. So my first question is, where does the music actually come into that hadith? Number one. Number two, those two girls, what were they singing of? The two girls, how old were they? Right? They were below the age of puberty. Because there's very clear hadith, for if you listen to a songstress, that Allah will put molten something into the ears of those people who listen to this songstress. And no, men like this, right? It arouses them. That's why they listen to this, right? And it's known, actually, if you even look in the Quran, يَا نِسَاءَ النَّبِيِّ لَسْتُنَّكَ أَحَدٍ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُنَّ فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ That, oh, wives, the believers, لَسْتُنَّكَ أَحَدٍ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ You're not like ordinary women. إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُنَّ فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ And do not be lenient in your speech. This is the أُمَّهَاتُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Right? The mothers of the believers, they're being told, who would ever think anything of their mother? No one could ever think anything of the wives of Rasulullah. But the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, they are being told not to be cocky. Think that even when they speak, they can arouse something in the one, فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ In his heart there is some type of disease. It creates an arousement. And it's not only for men. It actually happens in the hearts of women as well. Who was the Sahaba Bara? Radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah told him, do not let the... He had a beautiful voice. And he, if I'm not mistaken, Rasulullah told him, do not let the women hear your voice. Right? Sometimes when they used to lead the animals, for example, they would sing these hymns, you know, type of thing to keep the animal moving. But he had such a, you know, beautiful voice that it could create an attraction. And this is just a natural thing that it creates attraction. So it's just a normal voice can create attraction. What do you think with music, with all the words, with all the unlawful things that it won't create? Obviously it will. So these girls were young, number one. And what were they singing about? Were they singing about all these haram things? Take any your favorite song and make all the words about flower, about greenery or vegetables. And see how enjoyable it is. Right? People are just like, what is this? This is garbage. Right? The same tune, same music, everything, just change the words. And see how much pleasure there is. That shows that the haram is the thing that the nafs is taking the pleasure from. So, they were actually singing about war. Right? And then people say about duff. Right? The duff was being used. So there is permissibility for duff, well, there's one interpretation that was done for the sake of announcement. That's the more conservative opinion, and then you would not use it, right? So for example, that was one way of announcing. But even if you take the fatwa that is permissible, with even if it has bells and stuff for the sake of announcement, some people say if only for a wedding, because that's the situation where it's permissible. Some fuqaha say for other occasions. Then that was these instruments were not inherently made for the sake of musical instruments, right? And they were confined to a particular situation under a particular context. Then confine it to that. You do that everywhere else in fiqh as well. If there is an exception, you limit it to the accepted situation. You just open to all and sundry. So the last one. Dawood alayhi salam, right? He had such a beautiful voice. Where did the music come in? Right? And the other thing is that if there's anything that, even if you were to make the argument that there was music, right? This is the ruling for the shara'i min qabl. If there's any sharia that came in the time past, if the Quran agrees to it, then it becomes permissible. If the Quran doesn't say anything about it, then we keep quiet because it could be true, it could be false. And if the Quran goes against it, then it becomes haram. So for example, if alcohol to a certain amount of wine was permitted in times past. It doesn't mean it's permissible for our ummah. Right? The same thing would apply in this thing. So a person should be very careful. Now, a person will say that if I'm actually involved in music, how do I get out? Right? Let me tell you, the best way to get out is you have to take anything associated with music in your life and throw it out. You have to stop cold turkey 100%. I remember one person, when I had gone to one of these conferences, he was giving me a ride. And I looked in his car, and I think the radio was like out or something like that, or something weird. Or maybe he had to go in the back, and the wiring was messed up. And then he said, yeah, it doesn't work. He said, after that, at the cost that I spent, I knew that I just wanted this out of my life. So I went to the dealer, and I had them like just disconnected, right? Just disconnected, because I knew that if it was going to be in the car, then I would actually fall prey. If you have a unit, don't give it to your friend. Don't give it to your... Just put it out, right? And you say, oh my God, I spent $100 on that unit. Think that's $100 of sadaqah you're giving for your akhirah. Right? You don't have much money, you're a student, right? Things are tight. This is your $100 sadaqah that you gave for your akhirah. Just throw it out. Literally throw it out. Every CD you have, go on your iPods, delete every single song. Just take it completely out. If the iPod is actually a distraction for you, go and give it to someone else, right? Don't keep it. If you feel, you know, this is a very slippery slope. Sometimes the shaitan comes and says, oh, but you can put Quran on it, right? You can put Quran on it and you'll be listening to Quran and it will be great, right? And what happens? You listen to Quran for 1 week, and then the third week, what happens? You're back to music, right? The shaitan says, oh, let's go try to find some halal music, right? And then you're on the web surfing, and then you hear that song again, and then it leads you to think, man, okay, fine, I'm only not going to give up that one song, I'm going to give up all the other songs. Shaitan takes you step by step and takes it. Best way to stop is cold turkey, right? This is like one of the fundamental or basic things for the sad, for Muslims in general. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to completely root this out of our lives, and who are able to save, and may He make us amongst those who are saved from its ill spiritual effects. And if there has been any, history of the same in our lives, may He forgive us for any of that that may have happened in the past, and allow us to have a fresh start and a clean start. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So we'll spend a little bit of time, and then we'll.